welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune, and before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, first off, congrats on starting 2-0. You've had a chance to look back at the battle film. Did anything new kind of jump out at you about last week's game?
Just really... I thought we were balanced. I thought play by play, there are some things that we need to just tweak. We're doing a lot of things that we haven't been doing, is like spread, and there's just some things in spread that we need to even work on. We're kind of running a different defense, same assignments, but alignment is different. So just some things that we need to work on and keep tweaking. The effort's there. And other than the effort and things we need to tweak, I think just the general atmosphere of, you know, play stoppage kind of mess with us.
You kind of mentioned going into the spread a little bit more last week. Mm-hmm. Saw a good bit more of it than we have recently.
Right.
You know, looking back, how did that all look to you? You know, how efficiency wise, what did you think of it on second glance?
I thought we got to some things that we wanted to get through. Now we can tweak, you know what I'm saying? Now that we've seen it, now we can tweak some things within the players that, okay, these are the aiming points. These are the landmark type coaching that we have to do.
And then, looking ahead to this week, got Hickman for homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll talk game specifically first. What's going to be the key to coming out and getting that third win, starting 3-0?
Just really keeping the same intensity, not worrying about the surrounding factors of homecoming and things of that nature, and really just use the atmosphere of the same using that we would of being home and having a crowd at our back and playing with that type of energy.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, I mean, two games down, two wins in the book. So I think that's where you want to be at this point for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, two 40-point performances on offense, two pretty good games defensively. It's been a solid first two games for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you had told Coach Collier, I'm sure at the beginning of the season, at this point you're going to be averaging like 44 and you're going to be giving up about 10, I think you'd say, sure, we'll take that at that point, and you'd take that most seasons.
Yeah, I think just about anybody would take that through two games. You know, it's pretty hard to say. You're going to average winning by about 35 points and be upset about it.
Right. So the big thing last week was obviously you get another victory, you kind of build on the first week. But I think it's one of those two where you go, okay, you know, if you think back to not too long ago when they were kind of a brand new program and you're going, okay, boy, we're entering into this conference, wins are going to be hard to come by. I think one of those, you know, you knew you were going to have some top tier and then you're going to have some games where you're like, okay, if we can slot ourselves in with these guys in the middle, that'll be some good stuff. And I think Battle was always one of those programs where you go, that's a good measuring stick, you know, where you think and go, okay, if we can get to the point where we're beating Battle on a regular basis, then we're going to be, you know, have come to the point where we want to be at this point.
Yeah, and you know, Capital City's now beat Battle with 4 times out of 5 in
right.
the last 2 calendar years. I mean, maybe slightly more because of the 1 week pushback, but
right.
You know, they've played a lot, and Capital City has been the consistent winner these past couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think they're pretty happy with that. We talked a little last week about how those games have had a little bit of ridiculousness to them the past
right.
couple of years, and
yeah.
it kind of did again in the first quarter, but after that, Capital City really cleaned it up and took care of business in a way that I think they handled it pretty well,
yeah.
kind of second quarter through the end of the game.
Perhaps maybe the most surprising thing to come out of last week was maybe not the result, maybe not even the margin of victory, but just the fact that it sounds like, you know, it sounds like we kind of, from the Cavalier standpoint, you were kind of 50-50 on offense.
Yeah, which is, the first time really since the first year of the Veer when Hayden Carroll was under center, didn't really have any games where they were coming very close to even last year, and I think they had about 220 rushing yards and about 208 passing. Okay. So, you know, almost right on.
Right.
Pretty impressive passing performance from Evan Schaefer. Threw for 3 touchdowns, all in the second half, I believe. And, yeah, overall just a pretty good split from the offense. Much more of the passing game look than we've gotten, even as, right. you know, it's been kind of building up over the past, you know, year-ish.
Right. And I gotta imagine it's just a sign maybe of better things to come, even, because if it's, you know, it's not like you're gonna get to this point and stop. You're not gonna get any better at it. It seems like, you know, this is maybe a sign of, okay, we're heading in that direction and we're getting to the point where now we may be truly, you know, two-dimensional and make it even harder for teams to figure out what we're gonna do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think when I was looking back to try to figure out when the last or most recent games of kind of an even offense had come, it was Helias and Rockbridge two years ago, right? So two losses.
Right.
They were games where, like, the other team's kind of stopping the running game and you have to change and do something else.
Sure.
This was more an example of, as Capital City, we want to do this.
Right, right.
You know, we want to...
And making an active choice rather than having it thrust upon you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sure.
So this was kind of the first real example since implementing the Veer 2 seasons ago that it was fully by choice of we're going to try to be an even offense.
Right. And was there anything, I mean, obviously, so the offense is taking strides and they're becoming a little bit more dangerous, a little more multidimensional. Anything that you saw from the defense? I mean, you know, 18 points against Battle, pretty good result. I mean, I don't think there's anything about there that's bad about that.
No, and, you know, the first Battle touchdown was a 77-yard completion on, I think, the first drive of the game. So a little bit of a broken coverage or a miscommunication on the back end.
Okay.
That happens sometimes. You know, after that, looked pretty solid. The second touchdown was a fumble recovery touchdown, so can't even put those 6 points on the defense.
Right.
And then the third one was kind of a one of those trademark ridiculous sequences in a Battle Capital City game. There was an inadvertent whistle on a read option.
Okay.
Where Battle's quarterback got demolished. I mean, one of the harder hits I've watched live in a game. And the play was seemingly blown dead. And then 3 seconds later, the running back is about 15 yards downfield with the ball.
Right.
Like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Sure. Right.
And, you know, that was on third down, and that play ends up as a first down. The ref's explanation ended up being something to the effect of it's the offense's choice whether to end it at the whistle or take it as it stands afterward, which I had never heard before.
Interesting.
That's apparently how it was explained to Coach Collier.
Okay.
Which... I don't think that's how that's supposed to work, but it's how it did on Friday.
Right.
And then that ends up 4 plays later becoming a rushing touchdown from about the 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't even really put that on the defense.
Right.
You know.
Fluky.
On third down, you get the big hit. If guys keep playing, you know, if there's no whistle and guys keep playing, maybe you end up stopping the running back. It was kind of a long third down anyways. So, you know, I think overall the defensive performance was very solid, just kind of two moments of, you know, a blown coverage early in the game and then a fluky, weird inadvertent whistle late in the game that led to the other touchdown.
Yeah. So let's turn our focus at tonight. We'll get to the opponent in a minute, but it's worth noting that, yeah, it's homecoming already. Mm-hmm. Seems very early for a homecoming game. And it all, you know, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but I think it's still kind of not, you know, a lot of times homecoming is a weird game. There's a lot associated with it. It becomes kind of almost its own kind of different animal. I think we're still kind of a few years away from that being the case for Cap City. They're still a new enough school that I think it's getting there. I mean, obviously this was the first year they had a downtown parade. So we're getting to the point where it's becoming a more and more typical type homecoming, but it's still the sort of thing where you go, well, you're not going to see like a ton of, you know, alumni returning for school because they're still in college, you know, so it's still not kind of a homecoming week, but it is homecoming week and there are a few little extra distractions, I guess.
Yeah, I don't mean this to sound disparaging at all, but like your oldest graduates are sophomores in college.
Right.
You're not getting a lot of, like you said, returning alumni coming in. Now, that's not to say it's not a big celebration for parents of current students or parents of those alumni.
Yeah.
You know, that's still an important week, but it's a little bit different compared to, say, like Jeff City or Helias, where you've got
generations of graduates.
Multiple generations coming back to celebrate.
Right.
It's a little bit of a different thing at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's homecoming week, and kind of when I asked Coach Collier about it, he has last year too been kind of set on the idea of like, we're just blocking out all of those extra distractions. We're focusing and playing it like it's a regular home game. They're excited to be back at Capital City, have the crowd with them,
right,
and just use that energy to try to enhance the game versus like going out and you know, taking advantage of the parade and all that.
Yeah. Typically, schools will try to kind of cherry pick who the homecoming opponents are and who they might, you know, want to face as when you kind of look at your schedule.
Yeah.
Some years it works out for you, some years it doesn't. It appears that this year is one of those years that's going to work out for them.
Yeah, it's Hickman this week. We hadn't quite mentioned that yet. Hickman, who just lost to Helias 90-28.
Correct. That's not a wrong statement on Kyle's part. It was 90.
And it was like 73-12 at halftime or something like that. Hickman, I did the math for my story. I think it's like a 18 game losing streak, something like that, they're coming in with after going winless last year. Been a tough stretch for the program. They do have a new head coach in Justin Conyers, who led Battle to a state championship about a decade ago.
Right.
So, you know, there is some upside for Hickman, but right now that doesn't seem to really be breaking through yet.
So when you're taking a stats class in college, they always, you know, tell you throw out the high and throw out the low. So even if we throw out the high and the low of last week, you know, the 90-28 loss, the only other thing we have to kind of look at this year is the opening week loss at Marquette. So that was a 31-21 loss at Marquette. So you go, okay, that's a little bit better in terms of a normal-ish score, maybe a better indication of maybe who they are. I don't know much about Marquette at this point. We're two games in, so we don't really know.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing is, you know, what does Coach Collier think that this team is apart from a team that's coming off a pretty substantial loss last week?
So, the way I phrased my question about this was, how much are you taking out of the film from last week, or are you really just watching week one?
Right.
And, you know, he made a point to say they're watching both, looking for what Hickman, even in a subpar performance last week, was trying to do.
Okay.
Right. So there is still stuff to learn from watching that game when you're trying to research the team. But I do think week one is a better representation. There was a handful of turnovers last week in a pretty quick succession that kind of got to a point where maybe some guys weren't playing real hard.
Right,
and if you have a couple of guys who aren't playing real hard, that leads to quick scores.
Yeah.
But week one, it was a much, you know, much better performance for the team. And Coach Collier was saying specifically, Hickman looks like a team that is going to play hard pretty much the whole time, unless, you know,
Unless it gets really
out of hand, like last week. You know, that's not something that you expect to see.
Right. I think I think it would be fair to say a lot of people are going to give up when things get that far out of hand.
Yes.
You're not going to see many teams fighting to the final whistle in that instance.
Yeah, football hurts.
Right.
Football is hard at a certain point when you're like, well, look at this.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Right.
It happens. Right. But week one was a performance where they played hard all the way through. The defense was generally pretty sound. And then they do have a couple of offensive weapons that can kind of spread you out. And the offense, you know, can be tricky. It's a read-based offense, which, if you read it wrong, can cause a lot of issues.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the biggest thing is you look at it and go, okay, let's, you know, I think we know that the Cap City offense is rolling. So I don't think it's going to be probably a problem where you go, okay, this game is going to come down to them, you know, they're not going to score enough. I think they're probably going to score plenty. So I think the real point is, okay, what does the Cap City defense need to do against the Hickman offense to make sure that this one comes out on the right side for them?
And I know you talked about him with Tom last week, but Hickman does have 6'7" Brock Camp.
Right.
And, you know, the key is going to be stopping him.
Right.
He's one of the main playmakers for Hickman's offense,
right?
And their quarterback's able to get him the ball
at
times, which is an important part.
Sure.
But if you've got a 6'7" dude, you know, moving down the field, he's going to be hard to stop.
Yeah.
Capital City doesn't have anybody who can match up with that
size. That was my next question, is there anybody that could maybe shadow him?
No.
Okay.
I mean, nobody is matching up to him one-on-one.
Right.
So I did ask Coach Collier specifically about that, and what he said was the get off from the line isn't as elite as his other strengths.
Okay.
Right. So if you're able to stop his momentum before it gets going,
okay,
that's gonna help.
Sure.
So I think a lot of pressing at the line is gonna be a key portion of Capital City's coverage plan against him, and
okay,
then you're gonna have a couple of guys on him,
sure,
pretty much the whole time.
Gotcha.
Right. It's almost never going to be a one on one.
Yeah. So is there, that's the sort of weapon that you have where you go, okay, we want to try to exploit this whenever we have the opportunity to do so. But if you're able to take that away, or if you're concentrating on taking that away, is there anybody else that maybe you have to be concerned about where you go, okay, if we are able to limit this, then they're going to do this, and then we need to be ready for option B?
That's when you get into kind of the power read running game.
Okay.
Right. So Coach Collier did mention that the running game looks better than it did at times last year,
okay,
at least against Marquette it did.
Yeah.
And you know, read offenses are hard. That's why the Veer has worked so well for Capital City,
sure,
these last couple of years.
Right.
Because if a team isn't absolutely prepared and, you know, seeing the correct things as the offenses, as the play is going, then it can turn into a big play,
okay,
very quickly.
Okay.
So it's going to be Brock Camp mostly through the air, and then that read game on the ground, which, you know, you make a mistake or two, and that read game becomes a real threat really quick.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I guess the natural tendency is to maybe go for a big number on one side of the ledger, but how do you see this one playing out tonight, and do you, you know, what do you think the final margin is going to be in this one?
I do think Capital City's offense is going to keep rolling the
okay
way it has these last couple of weeks, so I'll say they reach 40 again.
Okay.
And I will say 45-21 Capital City.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.